okay? Everyone's moving their stuff, like, don't want to get stepped on. Well, it's really good to be here. It feels like coming home almost a little bit, coming back to the point, you know. It's just a bit of encouragement for those of you that are new to the point, that you've never been here maybe. I've been in your shoes, and those of you that have been here for, feels like years, I've also been in your shoes. I started coming to the point when I was only 13. I think I've been to somewhat of maybe 15, 16 lessons. My parents almost set up a direct debit almost across by the amount of lessons that I end up going to. But put your hand up again if you go into Letton. Awesome, amazing. Okay, keep your hand up if it's your first time going to Letton. Wow, good, amazing. Right, so everyone, see the people that put their hands up, encourage them. What I want to just say to those of you that it's your first time, be expectant. God is in the move in that place. That's actually the place I gave my life to Christ. And actually, it's very special, and I'm sure everyone that is going back for a third, fourth, fifth time will know that it's a place where actually God will do something in your life if you expect it. But I want to just share a little bit about myself. We got my PowerPoint up. Lovely. Could we go to the next slide? This is me. Yay. And not just me. This is my lovely family, my family. And so go from your left. That's Amelia. Amelia in that picture is 7 months. She's now 9 months. She crawled for the first time today, actually. Super cute. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I was really shocked. It was amazing. And then my better half, Amy, on the other next to her, holding her. And then we have Olivia. She's 3.5, coming on to 4 nearly now. And the cool thing about Olivia, me and Olivia, is we don't share a bloodline. But we do share a love line. Some of you that might not click a bit later, but we share a love line, not a bloodline. And that's, for me, the most important thing, that me and her have that connection. And so that's me. So if you see bags under my eyes tonight, you can understand why. But they send their love. And you that are on Facebook, you might have seen that the two girls, I did a little Facebook story. Check it out if you haven't seen it already. They're on it. They were super excited for Daddy going to speak tonight. So do check it out. Little cheeky plug to go onto Crop's Facebook. But can we go back to the first slide if we could? Because I want to talk about a theme that I felt was really put on my heart, and that is, you're not alone. You're not alone. Now, to be honest, I think for each and every single one of us, at some point already in our life, if not we will do, we'll have felt alone. We would have felt a sense of loneliness, maybe. Now, I think loneliness is something that is inherent in our beings, potentially, because we are social people. Now, some of you might like to socialize more than others, and that's completely fine, because some of you might like to have space where you just recharge your batteries away from people. My 3.5-year-old, Olivia, she loves being with people. I mean, you know, if you put her in a room with people, she will socialize with every single person and know all their names by the end of it. Now, for my better half, Amy, to be honest with you, she would hate that. She'd hate to mix around in the room, and she'd be exhausted just talking to people. So both is just fine. Each one of us are like that. But it's still a sense that every single one of us don't really like to feel alone. Now, I don't know about you guys in this room today, how you've walked in here, whether you feel alone in your school life, feel alone in your home life maybe, you feel alone maybe a little bit in your social life, in your social sphere with your friends, or maybe you actually feel a bit alone in your spiritual life. You think, actually, I'm not hearing from God. I don't have what other people seem to have. I don't have that relationship that I see or perceive other people to have, and you feel a little bit isolated. But I just want to speak over your life today, just one simple truth, and that is this, that you are not alone. And if you get nothing else from my talk today, just those simple words, that you are not alone, as an encouragement to you in your life, then, to be honest, I've done a part of my job tonight. Because actually, the world wants you to feel isolated. The funny thing about your generation and my generation is that we are the most connected, but yet we're also the most disconnected. Does that make sense? We're all on our phones. Put your hand if you've got Instagram. Lots of you. Put your hand if you've got Snapchat. Put your hand if you've got Facebook. That's a bit old now, isn't it? Facebook. What? Give me some others. Other social spheres. Twitter. Put your hand up, you've got Twitter. Okay, any others? Tinder? No. Don't go on it. Definitely don't go on it. Pardon? Reddit? Yeah? Okay, there's a few. So, you see, you get my point. We are on multiple social networks, but yet we don't really communicate properly. We give a like, we give a shock face, we give a cry face if you're feeling really sad about it. Or you might just give it a retweet, or you actually spend most of your time just looking at memes, right? Who put your hand up if you look at memes at least 5 minutes a day? Yes. Crazy, right? We love a good meme, don't we? I wish I'd put a meme up for us today, but I haven't. I'm sorry. But nevertheless, the thing is about our generation is that, like I said, we are the most connected, but the most disconnected. And as a result of that, we feel incredibly isolated. See, when we go onto our social medias, I don't know if you find this, but you find yourself endlessly flicking through, looking at other people's lives, wishing you had what they had. Have you ever had that feeling? I know I have. And we're looking through countless people's Instagrams and celebrities' Instagrams thinking, oh, amazing. And I look at, as a parent, I see all these celeb parents who, you know, who are fighting fit and, you know, got their child down at 7 o'clock and they slept through the night. And I think, oh, I wish I was that person. But the reality is, I was never called to be that person. I was never to be like that person. And it leaves me feeling isolated. However, if the world wants us to be isolated, that stops us from our calling. Because if there's something else I want you to take away from today and from tonight, is this. For each and every single one of you, it's not a coincidence that you're here. It's not a coincidence that you're sat in this upper room, The Point, listening to me talk. That actually God has a plan and God has got a purpose for your life. I know I sat in this very room, actually where Adam is sitting right now, an anointed spot, Adam. I sat there, and that was where, I'll be honest, I don't hear God's voice audibly that much in my life. And one of the few times God really spoke to me was where Adam's sitting, no pressure tonight. But it was at that moment, it was during a worship session here, where God just put on my heart ministry. And ever since then, my life has been different. Sometimes difficult, sometimes amazing, things that I never have dreamt have happened. But that's all because I finally began to understand what it says in Ephesians 2:10. If we could get off your social medias at the back. Flip my slides, please. Next one. So it says in Ephesians 2:10. Who knows this verse? Put your hand up. You know it. You heard of it? Some of you? It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's handiwork. The thing about social media is that it leaves you feeling isolated because you want what someone else has. But you fail to see that actually God has made you the way you are for a reason, for a purpose. There's a reason why you're born in this time, at this place, for a reason. You might not know it yet. You might not realize it yet because of your age and where you're at in school, maybe. But I want to just encourage you that actually there is a rhyme and a reason for your life, and actually that take value in that and really take pride in that. But actually, that God has created you for something, and it's going to be an amazing plan ahead of it for your life. Now, the text I want to speak about today, and those of you that are church kids are going to groan, maybe, potentially, but just strap in for the next 15 minutes, it's going to be okay. We're going to be looking at the book of Daniel. Now, I would encourage you to load up your phones, but the temptation is when you load up your phones to look at the Bible is that you're probably going to flick onto Instagram and flick onto other things. But I want to talk about Daniel. Now, I'm not talking about Daniel and the lion's den, don't worry, okay? But I want to talk about these individuals called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anyone heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Okay. A lot of you have. Amazing. So I'll give you a bit of context for those of you that don't know what's going on in the story of Daniel. And it's this. There's this king. He's called King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to call him King Neb just for the sake of making this talk slightly shorter just for you and for me. And King Neb is a pretty serious guy. Okay? He's legit, right? He's 100% legit. Now, he's taken rule of the Babylonian Empire, which is one of the biggest known empires in the entire world. Now, he asks for new servants. And so they go out, and what we know about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is this. Okay, and it says this in the Bible, in chapter 1. They are without any physical defect. Okay, cool. They were handsome. Right. If the Bible says you're handsome, you must be really good looking, right? Because, I mean, they probably could have had any girl they wanted. Like, well, the Bible says I'm handsome, so, you know, I'm handsome. They were shown aptitude for every kind of learning. They were well informed and quick to understand. So these guys were the real deal, okay? They were literally the real deal. Now, the thing that most people might not see in a text is that they were probably, some would say, in their late teens. So imagine, right, one day you go downstairs, you have your cornflakes, you're getting ready for school one day maybe, and then all of a sudden you get taken away to go and be in some king's palace to learn and to study and to actually be under his rule. Would you enjoy that? No. No, not if it hasn't got Minecraft or Facebook. No, I wouldn't want that. No, it's not fun, is it? So the reality is that actually these guys are taken away from the home, stripped off of anything that they knew that was homely. Now, if I was them, I can imagine I'd be feeling pretty darn upset at that point. And what I want to just know, just from the very beginning, is this. To be honest, the Bible talks a lot about various different characters, and we know a lot about them. There's people called scholars. They will literally read into it. Now, what will happen is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were really defined by two. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are defined by two clear moments in their life. And that's it. Two really clear moments. And that's actually, to be honest, can be true for your life too. But actually you have a couple of different marks in your life where you can really make a difference. You can stand out from the crowd. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do, because they don't choose in chapter 1 to eat from the king's table. Now, the king's table has lots of nice food, lots of good stuff. Now, the temptation is like, well, yeah, I'll have some of that chicken. That'd be nice. I'll have some of that fries. Yeah, I'll take that. That'd be nice. But they go, no, I want vegetable and water. Vegetables and water. Now, to me, that doesn't sound very fun, right? Would you want vegetables and water for a week? Okay, that was actually a question for you to answer. Would you want vegetables and water for a week? It lives, so yeah, but wouldn't be ideal, would it? See, they make that big decision, and all of a sudden, actually, it was proven to be the right one because they trusted in the process and what they were going through. And as a result, they were actually shown to be fitter and healthier as a result, and they weren't sluggish because they weren't eating all this food. Now, I'm not going to go into some sort of health talk right now, but I'm just saying, maybe there's something about eating your greens. So when you go to KFC next time and you decide to go for coleslaw, maybe drop the coleslaw a little bit, get some corn on the cob, just a bit of advice next time. Anyway, moving forward. Now, I want to talk about chapter 3. Because King Neb, right, he erects this massive statue for all of the land to worship him. Now, he is pretty serious about making sure that everyone worships. Now, In chapter 3, verse 8, we have some astrologers. Now, they go up to King Nebuchadnezzar and actually say that, hey, look, by the way, you've got some people in your house, in your rule, that aren't actually going to worship this statue. Now, again, talk about Olivia, but my eldest, she's funny because she will tell on anyone. Like, anyone does anything to her, she'll be like, Dad, she hit me. Now, her younger sister is only 6 months at the time, and she would dob on her younger sister. She'd be like, Amelia just slapped me. Amelia just slapped me. And she'd have her hand on her hip like this. She'd be like, this. She just hit me. What are you going to do about it? And Amelia's there. She's 6 months. She has no idea what's going on. She's just trying to sit up, like, woo-hoo! And like, Olivia's like, Dad, you put me in timeout all the time. So what are you going to do? So I have to go to my 6-month-old. No. Naughty Amelia. And she's just sitting there like, ah. And like, I even tried a couple of weeks ago when Olivia told on her sister again. I was like, she keeps on scratching my eyes. Now, she is, but she has no idea what she's doing. She's just trying to be playful. Now, I tried to explain to Olivia, she's just a baby, but that doesn't quite seem to compute to a 3.5-year-old. So I'm like, okay, we're going to have to do the old school way. So I picked Amelia up. I was like, Amelia, you're going to have a naughty step. Put her on a naughty step like this. And just sort of sat there. I was like, until she nearly fell off. And I was like, okay, this is not a good idea anymore. But there's a point in saying that actually, you know, we all know someone who tells on other people. But these astrologers in this passage are literally telling on Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and just trying to get them in trouble with King Nebuchadnezzar, because they're actually jealous. They're actually jealous that these individuals have a position under King Neb. So just an interesting thing. King Neb is furious when he finds out that they won't worship. I mean, absolutely furious. I mean, have you ever been furious in your life? Keep your hand up. Have you ever been furious? Who have you been furious at? Anyone to shout some people out? Maybe not in the room, hopefully. Yeah? Some people are pointing at each other like, I'm furious at you. I'm still furious at you. Hopefully there's no couples in the room to break him up. Bring it together, I hope. All good? Okay. It's good to know that you're all furious with each other. We'll pray for some peace and reconciliation at the end of this time together, maybe. But King Neb is absolutely furious. Now, what I like about King Neb, in some respects, is that actually he doesn't quite believe his astrologers. He wants to give them the benefit of doubt. He thinks, no, that can't be my loyal subjects. They surely must be wanting to worship the statue. So he goes to them and asks them, hey, are you going to be worshiping them? And basically King Nebuchadnezzar says, King Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied by saying this in verse 17 and 16. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have the absolute confidence to be able to say that to the king, knowing that actually, if I didn't go ahead and worship this statue, I'm probably going to die, potentially, in a furnace. A very hot, hot, hot furnace. That takes a lot of guts. That takes a heck of a lot of guts to be able to stand up in boldness to say, no, actually, I'm not going to do what you say. So what happens when they go into this furnace? What happens when this hot furnace, which actually kills someone because it's so hot they're trying to get them in, what happens when they get into it? Well, we see that King Neb says this, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. They're protected in the fire by God. Absolutely protected. Can you imagine the scenes? King Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful ruler, has been completely undermined because they're completely unharmed. But how could these individuals have the boldness to go into the fire in the first place? I think it's because they knew they weren't alone. Number one, they knew that they had God on their side. They had a relationship with God. They had a confidence in God. They knew that God was with them. And that's true for us today. We know that God is with us by the power of his Holy Spirit that we talk about. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit has always been here. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just come and go. The Holy Spirit's here in this room. It's in the car journey home back to your wherever your house is, where you live. It's in your classroom. It's in your room when you're clicking on something you might not be, shouldn't really be clicking on. It's in the room when you're sending that text you shouldn't really be sending. It's in the room where, whatever you might be, the Holy Spirit is there. His presence is there. Now, some of you might have experienced that for yourself, but some of you might not. Now, I want to share with you a quick story, which I hope will sort of explain a little bit more about God's love. Now, I said earlier, and importantly, Olivia and me share a love line, not a bloodline. Now, a while back, she would always call me Matt. Now, one thing you notice as a parent, when you do get to parenthood, by the way, is that you don't, like I said, you don't sleep much. And you kind of sleep, you know, with one eye open, really, because you're sort of alert all the time. Now, one night, at about 2:30 in the morning, I woke to this cry. Daddy! 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 Now, for me, that was a rarity. And that was a first, because Olivia has never called me Dad. So, you can imagine my... I mean, it's 2:30 in the morning, mind, so I'm a little bit dazed. But when I hear that sound, I jump out of my bed. I literally run out of my bedroom. Now, the way our house is laid out, we have the girls' room there, and then the bathroom, and then the stairs. Now, I could quickly see when I ran out of the room that Olivia is in the bathroom, and she's just sort of going around the toilet like this, and, you know, just sort of shouting and screaming and all this sort of thing. And so I run and I'm like, Olivia, what's the matter? And she's just beside herself crying, and I can't understand why. She can't understand why, and so she's really upset, and I'm upset for her because I don't understand why. And I feel like this is my first time where she's called out for me in the night, so I should really be more helpful than I actually am being right now. But anyway, I managed to calm her down, which was a real win for me. I thought, yes, I calmed her down. This is good. And I got her back into her room. We had one of those side hugs. You know, those side hugs that you give? We had a little side hug. And then I went to give her a full hug. And I heard a sound that I think none of us in this room ever really want to hear from anyone, especially like someone who's really close to us. And the sound was like... She was like dry heaving, okay? And I mean like properly, like mouth full open, dry heaving. Now, you've got a choice of this matter, right? At this opportune time. You either ditch her, run, because she's going to heave all over you, or you stay with her and try to help her out. Now, thankfully, I went for the latter one. I've stayed with her, but I thought, okay, I don't want to be sick on me. So I picked her up as she was dry heaving. And I'm like going, please, no. I'm trying to run her into the bathroom. As we run into the bathroom, the last dry heave wasn't a dry heave. Let me tell you that, okay? I saw her dinner again. And it went all over my arm, onto the floor. And then there's this little three-year-old, bless her, who's been up the toilet bowl. Like, she's just been to Iron Appa. And she's being sick and sick and sick. And I'm like holding her hair. I'm like, I feel like I'm back in the club. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And she's just being sick. And afterwards, she finishes being sick, and she looks at me, and she's like, she's still like so mega upset, and she's just like, and she's got a sickle down her nightie, and just looked in like a really sorry state. And I'm just like, and at that exact moment, my only thought was to get on my knees and just to hug her and just embrace her in the mess, in the yuckiness of it all. And just embrace her. Why did I do that? Because I loved her. Unconditionally. And all I kept saying to her was like, Daddy loves you. I love you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And she's like, and we get her cleaned up. And she's got a new nightie on. And clean up the mess. She gets back into bed. And sleeps through the night. And the next morning, it's like nothing had ever happened. Now, to me, that is... For me, the perfect picture to a certain extent of what the Father's love is for each one of you is that in your mess, in your situations, the Father says, hey, look, I love you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've seen, no matter where you've been, I love you. Just let me love you back. Let me love you. Let me embrace you and tell you that. You're not alone in this. I think some of you maybe have never really seen it in that way before, actually. That you think, oh, Christianity is maybe just this thing that we go to on a Sunday and say I'm a Christian, but actually, nah, I'm okay. But I want to encourage you that the relationship you can have with God can be so intimate and so life-changing that actually, when you leave this place today, your life will be on a different direction if you want to choose that way. And the second rule is, I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could go into that furnace because they had each other. Look around you, if you can, please. Try and catch someone's eye you haven't really talked to before in a really awkward way. Don't give them a wink, that's inappropriate. But those of you that are going to Letton, you're going to have something called Letton groups, or what are they called, Matt, now? Letton groups? Yeah, everyone's not. Yeah, cool, awesome. Still Letton groups, awesome. And those groups are an example of a community that you have, which are there for you to be able to come together and talk and to share actually about what's going on in your life. Now, I can see some of you are getting a bit sleepy, so we can stand up. I want to do an example now. And I've never done this before, so let's see if it's actually going to work. So what I need is, I need lines of 10, okay, starting from the back here and facing that way. So lines of 10. So 10, 10, 10. Just figure it out between yourselves if you can. But I need to be tens, ideally. Yeah. Let's see who the leaders in the pack are. Come on. Everyone's got to go with it. Everyone's in this. Those of you at the back, if you feel comfortable, come down. Be in this. My goodness. This is organized chaos. So I need the tens, ideally, to be like, literally, the person is behind you. That makes sense? So it goes 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, like this. So not just random tens. Literally, I want you to be like a group, like a pack. Right? So make sure you're behind, someone's in front of you. Okay, the next 10, you then do the same. You get in front of another person. Have another line of 10. It'll make sense, hopefully. Okay, cool. All right. It didn't work quite how I'd anticipated, but it's okay. What you do is put your right arm up like this. Okay. So, in the Roman army, they'd have something called a shield wall. Okay? So the shield wall effectively operates in the manner that once your shield is up, nothing can get through. Okay? So if someone comes out of line, you've got your friends either beside you and also behind you that are going to protect you. Does that make sense? So what I want this to be is a picture of community. That together, as the shield wall, nothing can get in. And also nothing can come out. Does that make sense? So, I want you that to be a picture for you. That as you guys step forward out of the point tonight, that actually you are a community. Whether you know each other all really intimately, that doesn't matter. But the fact is, when you're in a position like this, you have each other's back. Regardless if you know the person next to you or not, you still have their backs. So can I encourage you that you're not alone in this. You're not alone in this life that you live. And I hope that every single one of you never feels alone. That actually you feel that you have that shield wall, but you have the people beside you, behind you, and also in front of you that are going to support you. Okay, you can come. You're going to sit down now. I don't think you'd be very good in battle, guys. I'm not going to lie. All right, cool. I'm going to wrap it up now. But it's this. I really just want to encourage you that you have an opportunity given by God to be actually to step out, to make a difference in the world. And each one of you has the potential. Each one of you can and will change the world if you just embrace all that God's plan is in your life. But I want you to be left with this word. You're not alone. Number one, you have God who's forever with you by the power of the Spirit. And number two, you have each other. So can I challenge you today that actually get serious with your faith. Get serious with someone, a friend. And say, you know what? For me, that's the biggest regret I didn't do when I was a teenager. I wish I got one of my friends and said, look, let's be serious about this. Let's talk about our faith. Let's pray together. Get serious about it because it will make a difference, trust me, when you reach life beyond school. So thank you for listening, and I pray that as you go into Letton and go into back to wherever you might be going in your own sphere, your own world, to know that together with Lord and with each other, you can do all things. Thank you. God bless.